Blog Talk Radio.
You have just tuned in to an episode of Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir, Sherry Pang, and Maria Wilson Duff. Stay tuned as we enter into the world of the paranormal, a world of ghosts, UFOs, and generally anything unexplained. The show is about to begin. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I'm Jason Ophir, here with the beautiful and talented psychic medium, Sherry. Hello, Sherry.
Hey, Jason, how are you?
I'm doing okay. I've got the day off, so I was able to relax. How's your week been?
It's been busy. I've just been, you know, readings, and I had a big 300-person gallery reading, and I also vended yesterday, and it was amazing. I've just been hopping. So today is a day to, just like you, recover, you know, go into nature and just spend some time and recover. And too much peopling yesterday. I loved it. You know, I can live in the world of duality, but my home is in nature, and my home is with the creator. So, yeah, I just love being home and just, you know, I'm just laying back. So, yeah, it's all good.
Very good. Well, we got a returning exciting guest tonight, the spiritual warrior Bill Bean. But before we bring him on, real quick, there's two things I wanted to mention. Our Facebook page, Paranormal Horizons on Facebook, has the performance of that has just been ridiculous. In the last week, our posts have reached almost 4 million people. And that's astonishing to me because we have about close to 13,000 likes, which last week alone we gained another 4,000 likes. It's ridiculous. The other thing I wanted to mention, so thank everybody for paying attention to Facebook. And yeah, we post a lot of funny stuff that's not related to the paranormal, but it's still, the posts are getting out there at a ridiculous rate. The other thing I wanted to mention, and I don't think I talked to you about this, Sherry, was, you know, we're on the Blog Talk Radio platform, and you know, every month I've got to pay $40 a month, and I've been paying this for over 5 years. And because Blog Talk Radio, because of the performance of this show, and probably has to do a little bit with longevity, but it's basically we have a permanent performance-based 25% discount from Blog Talk. It's nothing that I solicited. They basically said, hey, your Blog Talk show is awesome, and we're just going to permanently reduce the cost of the show, which, who does that? What companies go and do that? So I was kind of tickled by that. You know, they basically stepped up and say, hey, you can pay less.
Yay, that's great. That's wonderful. And, you know, I can't believe that October I'll be in, 4 years on live on air with you, Jason? It's going to be 4 years. Does that make sense?
Time flies, I swear. It's crazy. So it's like episode 270 or something.
But also, too, I also want to share some good news to our listeners and people that support us. And I just want to say that it was hard, but we got into iHeartRadio. iHeartRadio is it's just not like you apply and you get in. They want to listen to your show. What kind of, you know, how are you guys getting along on your radio? What kind of content? Is this something that they might be interested in, also your audience? And I do want to share this. We did get finally into iHeartRadio. So, yes, tune in to iHeart, Spotify, Alexa, iTunes, all the major podcasts we are on. And so now what we have to do is get back on FM, and we've got it made, Jason. Get back on FM.
Absolutely.
Like we were. So
yep,
I just want to share the good news. iHeart is hard to get into.
We may sometime this month or next month. I may be getting a call from that station in Salem, Oregon. But until that time, I don't even know of all the platforms we're on. There's at least a dozen that this show is automatically broadcasted on.
Well, I know from talking to our producers, we're on at least 30 of them. So there's so many of them, I can't. But all the major ones, yes, you can get on all the major ones, but also all the minor ones. So, but yes, and once we get on FM station, we've got it made. We just have to get Clyde Lewis on, and he's, you know, he's syndicated. He's expanded now instead of 300. He's up to, what, 500, 600? So, yeah, I'm going to talk to him and his wife, and they're very good friends of mine, and see if we can maybe collaborate and see what we can do. So, but in the meantime, we just can talk about that. I want to go and introduce a very, very loving soul, and he is a warrior. Bill Bean is very well known, very well renowned all over the U.S. and all over the world. He's been on TV, media, you name it. He's very sought after and a very, very busy man. I have to go and book him out at least 4 to 6 months just to have him on a show. So Bill Bean was on before I became a co-host on Paranormal Horizons. So I want to welcome back Bill Bean.
Okay, I'm going to bring him on in just 1 second. Before we do that, I actually have an audio clip I should probably play. Here we go.
Hi, this is Bill Bean, the spiritual warrior, deliverance minister, exorcist, star of House of the Dead, author of Dark Force. For more info and updates, please visit www.billjbean.com. And if anyone out there is in need of spiritual assistance, I'll stand for you.
Without any further ado, we're going to bring Bill on right now. Bill, how's it going?
Hey, it's going great, Jason. I thank you and Sherry for having me back. It's always great to be on with you. And congratulations. I heard what you were saying. Boy, you're really attracting some viewers and listeners. And so there are people that are really finding you guys to be interesting. So that's wonderful. Congratulations.
Thank you for being part of our show.
You know, each and every guest is so special, and whenever you come into air and, you know, you share, it just makes our station and makes us look really good.
Praise God for it. I always enjoy coming on with you guys, and we'll have to do it sooner next time than later.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Well, we have
it's hard to get on you, so it was a big privilege to have you on. I know you're a busy guy, like I said on air.
It's never ending. Just never ending. It's just, and I praise God for this calling that He's put on my life. But I'm just busy. That should be, I guess, my middle name now, because it never stops. There are so many people in need. I'm still constantly traveling all over the country. God has worked through me to help people all over America and in 40 other countries as well. It's just absolutely amazing, and I couldn't do what I do without God's calling and without His power working through me to be able to do this and to be able to sustain. Because, I mean, for instance, I have to leave on Tuesday, actually late Monday night, early Tuesday morning, and I have to travel into Boston. I have to help people there. I have to leave there and travel into New York and help a bunch of people there. And I will stay that night, and then from there I will, on my way back home, travel down into New Jersey and help a family there. So it is just, it's incredible. It's never ending. I praise God for it. But there are so many people in need of spiritual assistance and spiritual deliverance. And those numbers keep rising, and there's various reasons why. We can get into that in a little while.
Wow, no, really? Okay, so what's going on with people? Why do you think is the increase in your services? What's the problem, Bill?
I think the world as we know it is dying, to be honest with you. And I'm not saying that to scare people. I'm saying it because it's true. And there's a breakdown. All you have to do is just really step outside of yourself in your day-to-day and take a look at what's going on in this world. So I feel that God is allowing the devil to have a short time here to be in control. And he's trying to recreate the world in his image, after his kind, after his likeness. And as a result, the world is passing away. And there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And there will be a great, terrible day as well. There's no doubt about that. It's coming sooner than later. And so, again, I'm not trying to scare anybody, but I'm urging people, please, seek a personal relationship with God. You don't have to take my word for it. I'm not going to try and twist anybody's arm to do anything. But I could tell you this. As someone who was a victim for my entire childhood and then going into my teen years and then even into my adult years, I know what it's like to suffer horrific abuse and abuse from demonic entities as well. I understand it very much, and I also understand that's why God chose me to be where I am. So God not only delivered me from that, but then he transformed my life from victim to victor. So this is why I am who I am and where I am, because of God putting this calling and this anointing on me to do this. So I urge all of you out there, please consider having a personal relationship with God, making him first in your life, and then he will bless you with holy discernment. Your eyes will be wide open to see what's really going on in this world. And it's so sad because, look, I love people. I would do anything to help anybody, anytime. But I'm also a realist, and I have been shown through holy discernment the things that are taking place. It's just mind-boggling. And so the devil is doing what he's doing through technology, and technology such as the CERN device. And so I feel now that there are many of these smaller types of devices all around the world, and many in America. And this is why our sky doesn't look the same anymore. The sun doesn't look the same. The moon doesn't look the same. And there are people getting videos of these flashes taking place in the sky at random times. I just saw one a few days ago from the UK. It was a clear night. It was a perfectly clear night, and then all of a sudden these people are seeing these incredible flashes of amber light accompanied by thunder, and in various parts of the sky. It wasn't like the whole sky was lighting up at once. It was just these various sections. And in my opinion, what I feel through my discernment, and make no mistake, these are gifts from God. These are not my own, and this power is from God, and it's not my own. That said, I felt right away that what these people were witnessing were portals that were opening up in the sky, and these portals are opening everywhere, all over America, all over the world, and demonic entities are coming through. And there are other types of entities as well. That's why some people are getting video of, like, flying dragons and stuff like that. There's all kind of stuff coming through these portals. And it is greatly affecting people. And this is why I'm so busy. I mean, I get calls from people from all over the world. I'm up until 4, sometimes 5 a.m. every night answering messages from people who are in need from all over the world. It's just absolutely astounding. So if you were to look at my case log and files from previous years compared to this year, it's just absolutely amazing how much it's increased. So again, I don't have any fear. I don't fear anyone or anything. I fear God. That's it. So God has bestowed this upon me to where I have to be in what I call warrior mode 24/7, and that is faith, strength, and courage. I don't have any fear, so when we are coming from the fear-based, trauma-based way of thinking and living, Well, we're on low frequency, low vibration, because all life operates on frequency and vibration. So if we're on high, life is good, life is positive, we're moving forward. But if we're on low, life is a challenge, to say the least. There's always a problem, a drama, a situation, and never an answer. It's like the person has a black cloud over their head, and it's like they feel like they're cursed. And so it's very important for me in how I go about my daily life to be on high frequency, high vibration. The only way I can do that is to operate in warrior mode, that level of faith, strength, and courage, which is in the order of David. Do I claim to be David from the Bible? No. But I claim to live in the order of, to operate in the order of, and I praise God for that and for him helping me to be able to maintain this and continue to move forward. Because I have to tell you, when I come out of some of these situations, you know, they're very serious. This is not a game. I mean, people's lives are at stake here sometimes. And when I come out of some of these situations, especially if a person's, you know, totally possessed, it's very draining. I'm totally drained, and it takes a little while for God to recharge me, to bring my energy levels back up again. And he always does, and I thank him and praise him for it. I could not do what I do without the power of God.
I hate to be doom and gloom, but I've kind of just had this feeling that something big is coming. I mean, a lot of people throughout history say, you know, they're in the end times and stuff like that, but I kind of believe it. I just have this haunting suspicion that things are going to start to go south more than they already have, but I could be wrong.
I agree with you, Jason. Again, I think life is like a big wheel. So God created life in this cycle and circle. It's like a big wheel. So as the wheel spins around, certain things come back. So history repeats itself. I think we've been in this situation before a long, long time ago. And that's, you know, where the stories of Sodom and Gomorrah come in, and places like Nineveh, things like that, and on and on and on. So life is, to me, like a wheel, and history repeats itself, and I think we're coming back into another period of time to where history is repeating itself, and then a great and terrible day comes, and then it starts all over again. So I think life is an infinite wheel, and how God does it, I don't know. Psalm 145:3 says, "Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable." So we'll never know. But it is amazing how things do repeat. It's, you know, some things do repeat over and over and over again.
I've been wondering about all these earthquakes.
Let me ask you,
Bill,
when you take a call, how do you know, you know, just like taking a call, do you go through a real process, process of elimination? Do you use your intuition? How many cases do you sometimes have to turn away or not take, or you get a feeling they just want you to come over just so that, you know, they think they got something, but it's not?
Yeah, I try not to turn anybody away, Sherry, because everybody needs something in some way. And my assistant, she's the one that makes the initial contact with these people. So normally what happens is somebody will hear me on a show or see me on TV or something like that, and then they will go to my website, and you can contact me directly from BillBean.net or BillBeanMinistries.com. And so if they do that, then my assistant will get back to them and initiate a dialogue, and, you know, they send over what the problem is. And in order for me to be able to do what I do by the power of God, I have to keep my connection with God super strong. Therefore, I have this holy discernment that God will give to me, and he'll show me things. You know, again, I don't claim to be anyone or anything, but God will show me. He'll either put an automatic instant knowing in my head of the situation, or he will show me images, whatever it may be. He will give me what I need in knowing what's going on. And yes, there have been some people in the past, not many, that are either fabricating because they want to be on TV, some that have mental illness. And let me tell you, sometimes mental illness bleeds into the spiritual and demonic oppression. You know, it goes hand in hand because of the lowered frequency and vibration. And some people are just hypersensitive but they're hypersensitive because, you know, in some cases they may have had a horrific trauma that had taken place, you know, in their life, in their childhood. And in a lot of cases, not all, but in a lot, some people have suffered like sexual abuse, child molestation, rapes, terrible beatings, violent crimes, or trauma associated with demonic attacks like I suffered through and my family. So whatever the case may be, when a person has suffered a high level of trauma in some way, the demons are, of course, we know they're on the perpetrator, but they will not only be on the perpetrator, they will then be attracted and attached to the victim because of that high level of trauma and the secretions that come out through the pineal gland and the adrenal glands mixed with blood. And so those demons are absolutely attracted to that like candy, and they will stay on that person until somebody like me comes along, the power of God working through me to free them.
How does somebody know whether or not...
Can it be done in one shot, or does it take a while for it to do, you know, some cases, man, you have to go back over and over, you have to call and continue. Is it a case-by-case basis, or generally speaking, it's a one-hit shot that you can usually, you know, eradicate it?
It's both. You know, there are some people that I can go to one time, and God works through me, and their life is transformed in a positive way forever, and we praise God for that. But there are other cases, and, you know, I've had a lot of these, and some recent ones, to where people, they do well for a while, but then something seems to come back in. And when that happens, then they're immediately back, you know, in a bad way again. So I go to them. There have been some people or families that I've been to 3-4 times. And unfortunately, and even in my own case, you know, it was a process for me. It wasn't an overnight transformation. It was a process. And the reason for that is that we as human beings, we develop patterns and habits. So if we're in a certain pattern and habit of, again, and that goes back to fear-based, trauma-based way of thinking and living. And if we, so if God works for me to deliver someone that's, you know, been under demonic oppression or even possession, whatever it may be, curses, whatever it may be, and that person is free and their slate is clean, but if they don't change their mindset from the fear-based, trauma-based way of thinking and living, and they need to change their habits. If they don't make any changes in those areas, well, then the door's wide open for the devil and his demons to come right back in because they deal in legal rights. So if the devil has a legal right to be there, he will actually go to God and present his case and tell God why he can be there, and God will allow it because of our free will. So this is why it's so very important to make changes after having a spiritual deliverance or an exorcism, whatever it may be, because the devil never stops. He has, so God, Yahweh, has angels assigned to each and every one of us. Well, the devil mimics everything that God does, and he puts a vulgar twist on it. So he, too, has demons assigned to people. And they just wait. They wait for openings. And when the openings come, they will kick the door in. So we have to, and most people, this is sad, Sherry, most people don't realize that we are in spiritual warfare on a daily basis, each and every one of us. So it's very important, certainly is for me, to stay in that warrior mode, that level of faith, strength, and courage, because I have to be somebody to somebody every day of my life.
For people out there that are unsure whether or not they have any sort of demonic influence in their life, how does one discern whether or not it's just mental illness or just bad luck versus having some sort of demonic influence over them?
Well, those things are one and the same, because you're talking low frequency, low vibration. So for the person that, you know, you would say, oh, well, he's, you know, he's got terrible luck. Nothing ever goes right for him. And he's just got that black cloud over his head. Well, there's a demonic influence there, because something evil and demonic has come in to lower that person's frequency and vibration to the point that nothing ever goes right for them. So Any time that a person is suffering and just, you know, one thing after the other, and it's, well, rest assured, there is a demonic influence there that they are pulling the strings behind the scenes to create as much chaos as possible, because the devil's mission is to kill, rob, and destroy.
I work in a hospital, and I can tell you that there is an absolute epidemic of mental illness. It's really astonishing. I had no idea until I worked in a hospital. I'm like, wow, there's a lot of sick people out there, mental health wise.
It's so sad. It really is. And again,
are they just not patients, but also employees too, Jason, if you don't mind me asking?
No. These are like outpatients.
I'm asking what you think.
Well,
is it both?
I mean, we're all a little crazy, but there it seems to be
in
a lot
our
of
way,
people,
right?
A lot of people that are, suicidal is the main one. It's just there's a lot of suicidal people out there.
And, I've
really
dealt with people like that to where I've gotten messages in the middle of the night. To, one's come in particular is coming to mind, but there have been many. And this is the blessing of me being on some of these TV shows, is that there have been people, and I mean, one guy coming to mind, he's a high-profile doctor in America here, and he was considering suicide because he just couldn't go on, and he was under voodoo curses, and he happened to be flipping through the channels, and he saw me on one of these shows, and he reached out, and God worked through me to help him, and he's doing very well now, and I praise God for it. But there are people like that they go so far down that they feel there's no way out for them. Another individual contacted me in the middle of the night, and he was absolutely distraught, and he was, telling me goodbye and things of this nature. And after a lengthy conversation, then God gave me a word to give to him, and it totally snapped him out of it, and it changed his life. And I heard this big clunk, and he told me that he had a pistol in his hand, and he was going to shoot himself in the head while on the phone with me. And God worked through me to help him, and he too is doing very well now. So yeah, it's boy, you're when you're in situations like that, I mean, this is either life-ending, life-altering, life-changing, and I have to rely on God 100% to work through me to be able to bring some kind of positive outcome and transformation as well.
Now, Bill, we do have a caller. Are you open to take questions or comments from callers this evening?
Sure.
Let's bring them up.
Absolutely.
Caller, you're live on Paranormal Horizons. Who's this?
Dr. Staten.
Hey, what's up? Do you have a question for Bill?
Well, I'm just sitting here listening, and it's amazing to listen to someone who has such a strong conviction of what they believe to be what is true. Not everyone
more
would
people
agree
need to be like that.
Not everyone would agree that. I wouldn't agree with that. I don't believe that there is an entity that is so powerful that there's only one, especially one being of being God, who has never even been seen of or heard of before, other than through other people, which is mostly through their mental illness. Second of all, evil. Evil is just another thing that's prone to be human being from the beginning. Now, Job, if you want to go back and look into books, was an upright and righteous man. And even like Bill was saying, this so-called Lucifer, Beelzebub, devil, whoever, went to God and said that there's no one, and except for this one, let me go ahead and torture him as much as I can to see if he will curse him. This is within a story. which that is exactly what it is, just a story. Mental illness, everyone has some type of disability when it comes to mental illness. And for the righteous person to run around pointing their finger at other people, to me, is a mental illness itself. So thank you for listening, and that's all I have to say about that.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you for calling, Paranormal Horizon.
Well, he's certainly entitled to his opinion. I disagree with him 100%, but, I mean, he's entitled to his opinion. If that's how he lives his life, well, then praise God, wonderful. And hopefully he's living a good and peaceful life. But for me, having experienced the things that I've experienced in life, which some people couldn't even and wouldn't want to have in their worst nightmares, for my life to be transformed from a hellish existence like that into where I'm at now, my life's 50 times more blessed than it's ever been cursed, and it would not be that way without God and the power of God. The name of God is Yahweh, which is listed 6,823 times in the Bible, and the reason that the devil went to Yahweh to ask, and make no mistake, he had to ask permission to do what he did to Job, because he said to God, I can turn your good and faithful servant Job against you, and I can make him curse you. And God said to him, you can do anything except for kill him. And so that's how that story came about. And a lot of us in life have had Job-like experiences. And so it all comes down to faith. And I pray for that individual, that he can navigate through the rest of his life. It's sad that he doesn't have any faith, but that's his choice. God gave us free will, and that's why there's an adversary to man in the first place, because of our free will.
Now, would you say with one of the reasons, the other thing when I was talking about the hospital and mental illness, do you think substance abuse is a big factor in this and allowing these, you know, these evil entities into people's life? It seems like, you know, every time I turn on the television, I'm getting, you know, an ad for some sort of medication and stuff like that. It seems like we're bombarded with that stuff. And I'm left wondering whether or not this is kind of contributing to the fact of the downfall of society, or making people more susceptible to dark forces, because we're addicted to everything. You know, you have a runny nose, let's put you on some sort of drug.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Jason. And this goes back to the Greek word pharmakia. It's the spirit of sorcery. And again, when our frequencies and vibrations are lower, and they are under the influence of those drugs and other drugs that are out there on the streets, then people are wide open for demonic attack, because there's no covering. They've made a choice to engage in this. And look, as a young man, I did the very same things. I drank very heavily. I did drugs. Could have very easily have ended up in prison or dead. So I fully understand how all this works. When I was under the influence, I became a very violent individual. And so the reason for that is because you're wide open for those demonic forces to come in and just press buttons. So this is why we have and I'm so sad and sorry to say this, but it's true. We have this epidemic on our hands, and I call these people the walking dead, and it's so sad. I mean, they are literally, especially, you know, the ones addicted to all these opioids, it's awful. It is beyond awful. And the only way that these people can ever be free, because now, through this pharmakia sorcery and this chemical that now becomes a part of a person's makeup if they've been taking these things for any period of time, the only way out is through the sheer will to want to be free. And once again, you know, the person would have to establish a true connection with God, making God first in their life, and then perhaps God would work a miracle for them in delivering them. He certainly worked that miracle for me with drinking and drugs. It's been 30-some years since I touched a drink or a drug, and God not only delivered me from it, but he took my desire for it away as well. And I never went to one AA meeting, NA, or anything like that. I went to God, and God took that from me. So this is where we are, and you're exactly right, that everybody's addicted to something nowadays, and this is why it's so very important. And look, I could sit here and talk all night long about how great my life is, which it is, and how blessed it is, which it is. That doesn't make me perfect. I don't claim to be perfect. There's no perfect person that walks the face of the earth. But I can tell you this. I try to do the best that I can do, be the best that I can be each and every day of my life. And in return, God blesses me abundantly, and I thank him and praise him for that.
I think
I have a question. Even as bad as you, the cases or the situations that you may come across, whether it's professional or personal life, do you really feel that love triumphs no matter what? What kind of adversary that you're up against, demons, negative people, negative entities, you name it, that love triumphs everything?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and again, if we take a look at what's going on, I mean, think about this. We have major cities now that are just absolutely being decimated. There's people living on the streets more so than ever before. How can this be happening? People addicted to drugs in droves more so than ever before. People you would never dream that could be addicted in this way. So that, in my opinion, and I wrote this in my book, Stranger Than Fiction, that if there were an external force trying to take over the world and infiltrate and take over, how would this force go about it? And I'm referring to the devil and his minions. And in my opinion, the way they would go about it is they would poison the air. We have these chemtrails sprayed on us every single day all over the world. They would poison the waters. Well, we have people now, we're hearing these stories every day now, people going into the waters and they're getting this flesh-eating bacteria stuff and they're dying, and they would poison the food. So this is where we are. And whether people want to believe this or not, that's fine. You don't have to believe anything. But it doesn't change the fact of the matter. And the fact of the matter is that our world is being hijacked. God is allowing this for a short time because this is the ultimate test of faith and the great deception as well. So love is being robbed from the world. So this goes right back to what you were saying, Sherry. The love is being robbed out of the world. So the only way that we can turn this around, and God is going to turn this around. Don't worry about that. He is. But what we can do individually is try and do our best and be our best and show love and kindness and respect to others and do anything that we can to help anybody. And that brings a little bit of love from each and every individual. And if people start to get into that mindset, that will bring a whole lot of love back to the world.
I'm a big fan of
vibration.
I'm sorry, Sherry, I didn't hear that. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And that is, you know, and then that raises the frequency and vibration of our country and the world.
Wow,
oh, go ahead, Sherry.
That's true.
I interrupted you.
And, you know, it's not rocket science. People just need to take a step back. And the problem is, through TV, movies, music, not all, but most now, there's a really sinister message being pumped out, and it is mind programming at the highest levels, like never before. And so, again, what it's promoting, number one, is rebellion. Number two is selfishness. So it is vanity, which is selfishness, and that's who the devil is, and that's what he's all about. He's all about himself. He doesn't care about anyone or anything, but he will use as many as he possibly can to get to where he wants and needs to be in his agenda. So this is why we have this mass programming taking place, which is turning people's hearts. So once again, the love and the kindness and the respect and the decency and the morality is being robbed from the people. They don't even realize that they're a witness and a party to it. And God says, my people were destroyed for lack of knowledge, so it's no excuse for them to say, oh, well, I didn't know. You should know. We all have a moral compass. But yet, I see a reversal taking place in this world. And again, Scripture says, woe to them that call evil good and good evil. Well, that's exactly what's happening now. So the ones that are blatantly doing evil, and they know who they are, and more importantly, God knows who they are being lifted up. They're glorified. But the ones who stand up for goodness and righteousness and decency, they're vilified. And they're vilified as the haters and the evil ones and things of that nature. So the devil is hard at work in literally turning the world upside down and backwards, because that is a mock of God. God has a natural order to things, and the world is out of order now. So in the devil's way of thinking, and those that serve him, and there are many on this earth that do, and many organizations that do, and again, they know who they are, and more importantly, God knows who they are. This is called order out of chaos, and that's exactly what we have going on currently in our world.
You definitely see that in music, you know, with the gangster rap. You don't, not all music, but you see a lot of music out there that's got a really negative message, you know, with the heavy metal and rap and all that. And you
pop.
See all these people
and
become, and pop. And you see all these people become rich and famous and driving around in the Rolls Royces and like they're being rewarded for sending out a negative message.
There's a 17-year-old kid out there now that I just became aware of. I certainly don't listen to any of this hellish garbage, but I do study about it because we have to know our enemy and know what the enemy's up to. There's this kid, this Billie Eilish or whatever the name of this individual is, I believe 17-year-old girl. She's the biggest thing going now, and just read the lyrics. You don't have to take my word for anything. Jesus said you'll know them by their fruits. And so read this kid's lyrics, and if her fruit ain't rotten, then nobody's is. I mean, she's singing about Satan as a Lucifer, her sweet Lucifer. This is a song called Good Girls Go to Hell. And she's singing about her sweet Lucifer. She's singing about encouraging suicide, just like this Lana Del Rey individual. You know, can you imagine? I mean, these kids, these impressionable children, and I blame the parents, too, because they're culpable for this as well. I mean, we have to have structure in family, and if the parents allow the kids to take in this absolute hellish filth, well, then they're culpable in it. And so can you imagine, though, Jason, you know, having young children and they're putting on these types of CDs or however they do it, listen to this kind of garbage about encouraging, you know, this artist encouraging the child to commit suicide. It's okay and all that. I mean, can you imagine?
No.
I'm amazed how they allow that stuff. It's okay to have that on video and posting it. It's just like, it almost in a way, direct or indirect way, condoning that. I mean, it's crazy.
But, yeah.
You know, when I was growing up and everything, I wouldn't have my kids, you know, listen to that. I mean, it's just,
no.
You know, you're talking about, you know, those kind of things. The kids grow up too fast, and you want to be able to enjoy their childhood and everything. And what about these kids that are eating, Tide Pods and things like that?
Yeah.
It's like, wow, where's...
And again,
parents, you know, what are they doing?
That,
you know, what? Why are the parents aren't aware of how the kids are or setting boundaries? I mean,
that's exactly right. So
I
hold the parents accountable for this.
True. You go to Costco. It's just an example, and this is my observation. As I go to Costco, you get these food samples, and yes, you take one and try it. If you like it, blah, 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 whatever. But you get these kids that the parents are either there, they're in la-la land, or they're nowhere to be found, and these kids are grabbing their dirty hands into the samples,
yeah.
And it's like, whoa. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, and I taught my kids, you don't touch anything. You ask, and I will get it for you, or you ask,
good
and
for
I
you.
Will watch you. But you don't leave your kids going taking things. It's amazing how kids are nowadays.
I totally agree with you, and again, you hit the nail on the head that this is a lack. So in our day, there would be consequences for bad behavior. You better believe it. But now, there's no consequence for anything, and furthermore, it's almost like some of these parents live vicariously through the child to encourage bad behavior, almost as a badge of honor. So again, we see that the devil is at work here to encourage this type of absolute immoral behavior. And to wear that like a badge of honor. And then these very same types of people, they're the very ones that would walk around and say their life is so terrible, they're cursed, they can't figure out why, and all this. These are the very same types. They have no connection with God at all. So there's an order to things, to all things in life, and that starts with God. So if we establish a real connection with God, if we make Him first, well, then He will bless us, and there will be a natural order that will come from that, and we'll have that holy discernment and moral compass to know what to do, what not to do, and how to go about our life, and how to also be in control and be a part of shaping a child's life for the better. So that's a tremendous responsibility, but nowadays, in a lot of these cases, the parents are still adolescents themselves, and they are all into themselves, and then they, again, want to live vicariously through the child and promote this type of bad behavior. And it's off the charts now, and boy, oh boy, does something ever have to change, because it's just getting worse and worse and worse.
That's true.
So what,
my gosh, have you seen that, Jason, too?
Oh, yeah. But I was wondering, I mean, what can we do as individuals to help, improve the consciousness? Random acts of kindness we talked about. I mean, is there anything else we can do to send a message out there and maybe kind of turn the tide and get things going in the right direction?
Okay, so for me, here's what I do. And again, I can't force you or anybody else to do anything, but I can plant the seeds and let you know, here's what I do. In my life, and this is every day without fail, every day, no matter how tired I am, no matter how busy I am, I start the day, when I open my eyes, I thank God for the day. Why? Because God works a miracle for us every single day. It's the miracle of life. So when we open our eyes, He has created another miracle for us on that day. So I thank Him and praise Him for every day. I get on my knees and I pray. That's how I start my day, every day. So if I'm committed to God in that way, then I'm committed to excellence. And if I'm committed to excellence, that means I refuse to lose. And again, does it mean my life's perfect? No, but my life is very good and very blessed. And I have to remain in that way of thinking and living, in that warrior mode, in faith, strength, and courage 24/7. That's how I live my life. And so that, through the power of God, helps me to be a good and productive man and a good and faithful servant for Him and a fierce warrior for Him as well. And again, I give all the praise and thanks and glory to Him. Take none for myself. So for me, that's how I go about my life. And if I'm in certain situations, I could be in an airport, I could be in a grocery store, I could be in a restaurant, wherever it may be. I have had people come to me in the past. One comes to mind now in Detroit. I was getting a rental car. I'd just flown in to Detroit to help a family there. And it's the same routine for me every time when I get into town, after the get to the airport, then the next thing is to get my luggage and then a rental car and then to the hotel and then to the family. So on this day, I'm getting the rental car, and the agent is taking me outside to the parking lot and this was after I had to get a shuttle over to the lot. So the agent is taking me outside to my vehicle, and I knew something was wrong. And this has happened many times. God will send people to me, and I know they're in distress. And so without directly asking him, I had a way of bringing it around, and then all of a sudden he just broke down. And he had a very close friend that was in a real bad way. You're dying from cancer. And so he asked me if I could pray, which I did. And then he asked if it were not too much trouble, if he called this person, could I please talk and pray with them on the phone? And that's what he did, and that's what I did. And so God worked through me to bring peace and comfort to a situation that was just awful. I felt so bad for him and for his friend as well. And so that's how it goes. I had I could go on and on and on. We don't have enough time in the interview, but trust me and believe me when I say this, that God will send people into my path who are under duress, and then he'll work through me to help them and bring peace and comfort to them.
So how do you tank up? Do you just spend your time, you know, when you know that you've been exhausted going through an exorcism and everything, or even, Bill, when you just don't feel good, like me, you know, as a psychic medium and a medical intuitive, TCM practitioner, I have days where I don't feel good. And, you know, if I really am tanked out, I will cancel before I deliver, because I don't want to be able to, you know, do a service and not be, you know, on top of my game. So how do you feel in that? What do you do when you're just not kind of up to par and everything? Do you still continue to be a service, or do you just kind of, hey, it's time for me to just back off for a day and, you know, recoup and things?
Well, I mean, you know, God always has a way of reinvigorating me, re-energizing me, restoring me, and I thank him and praise him for it. Again, without his power, I couldn't do it. There's no way I couldn't do it. I mean, I've had situations that I've come out of to where I feel just like there's nothing left, and I just have to sit down for a minute and just gather my thoughts. I'm almost like in a zombie type of state at that point, to where I have to just sit down. I recall many times just sitting down in diners or something like that and just sitting there blank for a little while, and then God starts to bring everything back. So, again, it's all about him. I've been in situations to where I was so exhausted that it was a miracle that I could even get home. And one comes into mind a few years ago. I had to go into Tennessee, and this happened over the course of 3 days, and I drove on this one. So I had to go into Tennessee. I had to help three families in three different parts of Tennessee, driving from one part to the other. And then I ended up at a church in Hazard, Kentucky, on a rainy and snowy and icy night. And I made it there, and God worked through me to perform deliverances over, I don't know, probably 50 people that night. They kept lining up down the aisle one after the other. And after that was over, I had nothing left, and I remember going to like a Waffle House nearby, and I just sat there and just tried to collect myself. And it was, again, by the power of God that he blessed me with enough energy to be able to get back in my vehicle and start heading back to the long, you know, for the long journey home. But these are, in my opinion, without the power of God, there's no way, again, that I could do what I do in the way it works for me in helping people. And secondly, there's no way that I could keep this type of frantic schedule up. I try to help as many people as I possibly can. I could never maintain this without the power of God restoring me.
Do you take care of the land, not only people, but the land? If there's some problems with the land, do you clear that out and take care of that, or do ritual or ceremony or whatever you have to do?
First thing that I do when I arrive at a residence, or even do when I'm home, I do a lot of over the phone and Skype sessions as well. And so what I do, the first thing is say land blessing, and I ask God to send his giant warrior angels to come and take into custody any and every demon that might be present in or around the land, the home, the family, pets, if they have pets. And I ask him to have his giant warrior angels take those demons into custody and carry them off and deposit them back into the pits of hell where they belong. And furthermore, I ask that he will bless, heal, forgive, and cleanse any wickedness or bloodshed or even murder that may have taken place on the land in the history of the land. And then I ask that he will make that land to become blessed, healed, sanctified, purified, cleansed, and made holy before him. So then we advance into the home. I anoint everyone's head with a combination of holy water, holy salt, holy oil, and frankincense. And I say several prayers at the front door, including a house blessing prayer. And then I sit down and I become a counselor, and I have to hear everybody's deep and dark stuff, all of it. It's not that I want to hear it. I have to hear it because this is all part of breaking the legal rights that the devil has over these people. So once we've gotten all the stuff up and out and off, then I can engage it in spiritual warfare by the power of Yahweh in Jesus' name, binding and rebuking it, casting it out. And after that process is done, sometimes I'll baptize people after that. I can't tell you how many times that I've baptized people in their bathtub. I mean, this is all over the country. And after that, then I have to go through the entire home to make sure that there are no demons hiding or lurking anywhere. And that has happened in the past as well. And so I have to be very thorough in this. And it is a process. It is certainly not a 1-2-3 thing. Certainly when I'm going in person to people, you know, I have to be very, very thorough in what I'm doing to make sure that all of the evil garbage is gone and that person, you know, now has a clean slate, a new chapter, and a new season that they can move forward in this level of peace, freedom, and victory. And it is all on them at that point. So God did his part. I did my part as the agent for God. Then it's up to the person or persons to do their part. And their part is to abandon the fear-based, trauma-based way of thinking and living and embrace what I call warrior mode, which is that level of faith, strength, and courage. Then they can move forward. And like I said earlier, some people, they never have a problem again. But others, if they come back to that way of thinking or do something to open the doorway, to the devil, knowingly, unknowingly, willingly, unwillingly, well, they're going to have problems again.
Wow. Is there a good, I know I could use some warrior mode. Is there, I don't know, maybe you've already mentioned, if I want to learn to do that, because I'm like everybody else, I get stressed out. Working in a hospital is very, very hard. There's a lot of anxiety. I have anxiety in general, just that's probably some biological thing with me, but if I want to train myself to become to get in this warrior mode, is there certain mantras or exercises that one could do?
Absolutely, Jason. And you can visit my website, BillBean.net, which is BillJBean.com, same site. You can visit that site, and I have some very powerful prayers and affirmations there as well that you can say and follow along with. Furthermore, I can email them to you also. I can send you emails, both of you, emails with some really powerful prayers, powerful advice, powerful affirmations to be said every day. You have to be consistent in it because by being consistent, we are invoking the power of God over us each and every day. We're showing God our commitment to him and our consistency, and in turn, he will bless us for that.
Yeah, we'll get our email addresses for you.
Yeah, please do that because I certainly want to help. Yeah, I mean, Sherry, it's all this is all warfare, and this is a we live on a testing ground. This earth is a testing ground, and we're going to school, so to speak. So we're learning a lot of things in order to advance. And I believe that the graduation is God's heavenly kingdom. And so we have to go through a lot of garbage here in this cesspool of a world that we live in. And this is where the connection with God must come in and holy discernment as well. And when we show that level of consistency and commitment, God will be there with us and for us no matter what, and he will guide us through the very worst of things. Furthermore, he'll work through us to be a tremendous blessing to others and a shining example of his love, mercy, and goodness as well.
Bill, can you tell when you go in a house whether it has any dark entities or elementals or demons and their henchmen?
Yeah, I can feel it. You know, and this is something that God gives to me as well, that I can feel when a person has something on them. I can feel if something is in their home. And so these are the gifts bestowed upon me by God.
Go ahead, Sherry. Sorry.
Okay. I was going to say, Bill, has there been really some bad things where you were confronted by those things and you really had to stand for your faith? It was like knocking you down or anything?
Well, I've been in physical confrontations many times and through people that were demonically possessed. And I've had people that have tried to harm me and try to shoot me, stab me, try to bite me, spit on me, hit me with objects. I've been through all these types of things. So, yes, and God has worked through me to prevail each and every time, and I praise him for it. And, again, it goes back to what I said earlier, that I don't have any fear in these situations because if a person of God goes into a situation like that and they show fear, well, it's all over. It's all over for that person. It's all over for the people they're trying to help. So fear must be eliminated in order to be in this level of warrior mode to where God will work through the agent of God to perform a deliverance for the person or persons.
Yeah, it's very dangerous work you're in. I have a lot of respect for you. I don't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole myself.
Well, I'll always be there for you, for both of you. Anytime you need me for anything, I'll certainly be there to help you in any way that I can.
I know you
would.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I know that we're getting close to time, right, Jason? You're just kind of saying, right?
Yeah, we are. We got to wrap it up. So Bill, if people want to check out your website, what was it again? And then if they want to find your books, how would they go about doing that?
Yeah, and I want to thank you both so much for having me on. It's been a real pleasure, and I look forward to coming back again sooner than the last time. So, and thank everybody out there for listening in. If you want to get copies of my books or you're in really spiritual distress and you're in need, please don't hesitate to contact me, BillBean.net or BillJBean.com or BillBeanMinistries.com, or you can just punch my name into Google and you'll get it. Whatever the case may be, I'll do anything I can do to help you. So thank you guys very much, and God bless you, and thank everybody out there for listening in, and God bless them as well.
Thanks,
yes,
thanks
thank
a lot,
you,
Bill.
It was good to have you, and yes, we'll arrange you to come back. Appreciate your time.
I'm very much looking forward to it, and we'll talk soon. God bless you guys.
Bless.
Okay.
Thanks.
Yeah,
thanks, Bill.
Bless you, too. Oh, wow. He's always a good guest, isn't he?
Absolutely. And it's a good message. I mean, the world is falling apart. it's just getting worse, Sherry. I mean, just it's the craziness.
I know,
really,
and it's like even on our shows when we talk about conspiracy, where do you end? It's just so, you know, it's gotten so bad. It's terrible, you know, and all we can do is just be positive and, you know, spread some love and being able to, you know, triumph love and kindness and humility to not only ourselves, it starts with ourselves, but also to those around us. At least keep it mindful anyway. But next week I want to introduce a new author. He's just having a book coming out. His name is Wayne William Snellgrove. He's a Native American. He's just a beautiful soul. He's going to talk about his Native American wisdom and his new book about daily meditations, The Native American Way, and I'm really excited to have him. I've talked to him a couple times, and just an enlightened soul, and we're pretty much, him and I are pretty much on the wavelengths as far as our point of view and what he shares, and I'm really excited. I think we're going to try and hit an hour and a half, at least an hour, but I like to get him. He's got so much information. I'd like to get him for an hour and a half next week. So,
well, you know, I've always felt connected to the Native Americans because I went my whole life thinking I had a very significant portion of my genealogy Native American, and that was based on the fact that I was born in Clovis, New Mexico, and I was adopted, and they thought I was Native American. And then, of course, I did the ancestry and the 23andMe, and I can't be any more European, so that was really disappointing. But I still like everything Native American, even though I think I have like 1 or 2%.
Well, you're still Native American, even if it's 1 or 2%, and it could be a past life
something.
Too, Jason. Maybe why that's why
maybe.
You might be attracted to the Native American spirituality too. So you just never know. I mean, I did my genealogy, and I took the advice of our friend Clyde Lewis, and I did not go through 23andMe or Ancestry.com because they are known to sell your DNA to different companies. So I went through Family Tree, and I was shocked. Here I am, same thing as you, adopted. I'm thinking all my life, I'm thinking I'm Chinese American. No, after I got the DNA, guess what I am? 85% Vietnamese and 15% Mongolian.
Hey. Mongolian, wow.
So that's you think
cool.
I'm Chinese? No. Vietnamese and Mongolian, 85-15. So, yeah, I just like, that's weird because, you know, when I think about it, even when I was growing up, you know, being among Chinese parents and very typical Asians, I was never, I mean, really didn't have a connection with the Chinese culture. I knew about it because I was brought up in that, but didn't have I'm going to say an attraction, but just like a connection, more say. And so here I am, after 50 years later, it's like finding out, oh, my gosh, I'm not even Chinese. So that really, to me, that makes sense. I'm not even Chinese, so I really don't have a connection to the Chinese culture. Yeah, it's interesting. Very, very interesting. So, yeah, I'm Vietnamese. Now I'm honest. I said I'm Vietnamese, 85% Vietnamese and 15% Mongolian.
I think the Mongolian's pretty
North
cool.
North
Vietnam.
Is
oh,
it? I don't know. I don't know about enough about that kind of stuff, but it's kind of interesting to know that. So,
well,
so I'm excited about next week. Okay.
Very cool. Well, with that,
but I want to
thank
everybody
for listening.
For No More Horizons.
Gas on Fire. Check us out, Facebook, Paranormal Horizons on Facebook. Get the latest and funniest memes on the internet, Paranormal Horizons on Facebook.
I know, and it may not, like I said, it may not be, it's for entertainment purposes, it's not our, it may not be our thoughts or feelings or attitudes or anything, it's just random stuff that can bring maybe a smile to your day. If it can bring a laugh or a smile, we've done our job to brighten your day in this world of chaos.
Yes, absolutely. Well, hope everybody has a safe and fantastic week. We'll see you next Sunday, 8 p.m. West Coast time. And have a good night, everyone.
Hey, take care, everybody. Peace.